Shabbat shalom. Good Sabbath to you. I hope you had a good week. If not, let this be the first day. Amelia Earhart, I don't know how many are familiar with that, but in the 1930s, she became one of the best and most respected airplane pilots that came on the scene in the 20th century, especially since she was a woman and especially since that she was in an area that was almost nearly all men. The thing that was interesting and most interesting is that being a woman, she proved beyond a doubt that women could indeed abound in the field that was nearly all about men. In the late 30s, around 39 or 40, 1940, she decided that she wanted to fly around the world and that she was going to fly around the world at the equator, some 15,000 miles. The plan was to fly across the continent and the oceans, coming back to the west coast of California via Hawaii and back to where she started. With her was her navigator called Newman. He was considered to be one of the best navigators in the business at that time. The methods for getting the flight route and setting it up was the use of what they called a bubble section. Now, of course, navigation systems are tremendously more improved now. But this was the state of the art at the time, the bubble sextant and a good compass and a good radio, of course, and for contact with ground crews. And in case of overclouded and stormy conditions, they had to have a spool of special antenna wire that they could hook up to the radio in case there was static in the air and they couldn't get through to the crews on the ground or on the sea. The trip was well planned. They made all the stops on the route as expected, but then, toward the end of the last leg of the trip, there was two major mistakes that was made. And those two major mistakes led to the death of both Amelia Earhart and her navigator, Newman. On the next to the last stop, which was to be the little island of Howland Island, which is a teeny piece of island out in the midst of the sea of nowhere that if you blink your eyes twice, you'd miss it. They were to put in at a landing field on the African coast before they got to this last stop. And up of approaching the landing, Amelia's navigator gave her instructions to make a right turn, which would put them in direct line with landing at the landing field in the coast of Africa. But instead of following Newman's direction, she decided somehow by her own gut feeling, and put that in quotes, to make a left turn. She completely ignored her navigator's instructions, and they ended up some 160 miles to the north of where they were to land. Having understood that she made a mistake in doing that, they had to recalculate and re-navigate and get back on the course and land at the coast. The only thing that saved them at that time was that before they left, they took everything out of the plane that was too heavy, and they put an extended fuselage from wingtip to wingtip, including through the body of the plane itself. So from one wingtip to the other wingtip, all the way through the body of the plane, there was an extra fuselage. That's what saved their life at that particular time. After a short stay to fuel up and to rest, they boarded the plane for the final phase of the journey, which would include a stopover for refueling at Howland Island. And then from there, they were to fly over Hawaii and then back to the coast of California, back to their destination. This stop at Howland Island had to be planned very carefully, for if the right route wasn't figured out before they started, they would completely miss it. Being the astute navigator that Newman was, he knew by the maps and by precise measurements that in order to find this island, one had to set the course with a slight variation and a deviation on the flight plan. That meant that in order to line up properly with Howland Island and not overshoot it, because it was such a very small island, They would have to fly toward and between two smaller islands that was directly to the south of Howland Island. So starting at 6 a.m. that morning, at the very moment of sunrise, Newman set the sextant measurements and the compass for the proper flight path into Howland Island. And about 30 miles out from Howland Island, Newman gave instructions to veer right to the two smaller islands, and then gave instructions so that she would curve around at a curving angle of about 90 degrees in order to line up with the direct landing course into Highland Island. But once again, she decided to go with her gut feeling. Once again, and she ignored the instructions that Newman, her navigator, gave her, and did what she felt was the right thing to do. She thought maybe that she could cut the time short and ignore the directions and instructions that he gave and fly in there and save time. That was what was in her mind. She was using gut feelings and experience, which can be good things, but also it can be a bad thing if you don't listen to your navigator, especially in the air. She decided to take a direct left turn, thinking she could cut off some of the distance of the flight plan and get to Highland sooner. That day, the clouds were very thick. They were very heavy with moisture, and there was a lot of static in the air. She could not see ground zero, even though she was flying very low. She contacted the ships below for directions, but she could not maintain a clear contact because there was so much static in the air. And normally, at this point, Newman would have hooked up the spatial spool of antenna wire, which would have enhanced the radio signal, but she decided that it was too much add weight, and so she dumped it at the last stop that they had at the African coast. Because of this mistake, and the mistake of not listening to her navigator, she began flying in concentric circles until all contact was lost. She had been within 30 miles of the island, but because she decided to ignore her navigator's directions and go with her gut feeling, she missed the mark. The best guess is that they ran out of fuel and they crashed somewhere to the north of Howland Island. To this day, they've not found any wreckage, nor have they found any bodies or any sign of any bodies. So what is the lesson in this for us to be learned in this sad story? Well, one of the lessons is no matter that how experienced one may be and how much you rely on your gut feelings and your experience, when the margins of success in any business that you're doing is very slim, it is wise to have a good expert on hand to ask what to do next, because you can't always rely on your gut feelings. Even professional swimmers, professional athletes, professional anybody know that no matter how experienced you are, when you're in difficult situations, you need more than what you have. It's always better to listen to the navigator, the counselor, and the expert when you run into such a situation. Amelia forsook her navigator's tried and proven directions for her gut feeling and experience, and as a result, both of them lost their lives. The second lesson for us, then, is to learn this. God has placed within us, his sons and his daughters, a navigation system also, and that it is very precise and it is very accurate, and that if we will heed and listen to the navigator that is inside of us, no matter what the smallest of margins or slim possibilities of making it into his kingdom are, we will make it because we listen to his installed navigator. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof leads to death." Well, nobody could say Amelia Earhart didn't have smarts and intelligence, but she did the one thing that God is telling us not to do here. She ignored her navigator. She decided to do it on her own. Proverbs 3 tells us that we're not to lean to our own understanding, but rather we're to seek the ways of God. We're to listen to him when he tells us, don't go that direction, go that direction. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal." Amelia Earhart's sin was not just that gut feelings are wrong, but her sin was that she relied on her gut feeling alone and not also on her navigator's expertise. But the gift of God and our navigator is, if we will listen, is that we get to end up with eternal life. God has implanted his navigator system, the Holy Spirit, within each of us, and he tells us over and over and over again, hear what the Spirit says unto the church. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the navigator. That's the navigation system God has placed within us. How do we learn to hear our navigator more precisely? Matthew 6:33 says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his directions and his instructions. This is the road map he's given us, the air map, if you will, that has all the instructions. That's our part. The Holy Spirit, the navigator, is in us, if we know this, plugs into that word that we have within us and tells us which way to go. So if we, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his instructions, and to listen to what the navigator says, and then he'll give us safety to the destination that we're going to. Galatians 2:20, Paul tells us, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, again, Paul's saying, listen to the navigator that is inside of you if you want your life to be a success, if you want to end up in the destination that God has called us to end up in. Colossians 3:1-4 says, if you then be risen with Christ and seek those things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then shall you also appear with him in glory. We will safely reach our destination if we rely on him through the navigator, the Holy Spirit that he gave us, by seeking Christ. If you and I are to arrive safely into our destined place, we must be sure to listen very diligently to the instructions and the counsel of our most apt navigator, the Holy Spirit. So the question to ask, I ask to ask of myself and I ask of you, how well do you and how well do I hear the voice of our navigator? If we learn to listen really well, here's the promise. 2 Peter 2:11. Let's turn over there real quick. 2 Peter 2:11. That's before John. 2 Peter 2:11, here's the promise if we learn to listen carefully to the navigator that God has given us. Maybe it's 1 Peter 2:11. Excuse me. Well, I missed it altogether. But whatever it was that I was trying to get at in 2 Peter, it was this. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's one promise. And the second promise is this. Revelations 2:7. You turn over there if I got that one right. Revelations 2:7, it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. How? By learning to listen to the navigator, the Holy Spirit that's been put within us. The safest course of action then, of course, if we're going to make it to our destination point and not make the mistakes that Amelia Earhart made and killed herself and her navigator, so that we do not get killed on the way before time, the safest course of action is always listen to the navigator.